You don't change your mind.
That's nice.
Well, I kept to change my mind because I get feeling good, but my family wants me to get out of this. But once you say you're not going to run and change your mind, then somebody get beat. But I don't know. I have a lot of people still want me to run.
My family won't, they think it's helping them, but you've been doing this to keep you more active and
growing. Well, that's what I did. If I didn't have this at the gym, I don't have nothing to do. I'd be like 4 days bad, nothing to do.
And you got good people, man.
Yeah.
Good.
Hmm. I enjoy it. I could always tell folks to change my mind and then see what kind of reaction I get.
That's right.
They might say, too late.
Now listen, on this ordinance where here it says, new businesses which shall mean a business establishing 10 or more quality jobs.
Uh-huh.
Okay. This doesn't say establishing 10 new employees, and it doesn't say full-time employees. This is kind of vague, the way it reads. Read that.
There's another place that it says full-time. It might not be here. Here it is. It's business establishing 25 or more quality jobs to employ 25 or more full-time.
But on the 10, it doesn't say that, does it?
A new business. A new business is got to have A in it, B in it, and C. A new business is defined as a business establishing 10 or more quality jobs. To employ 10 or more full-time employees, which blah, blah, blah. Or a new business. In the business, staffing 25 or more.
That don't make any sense to me.
Now, if you're going to do this, is for 10 or for 25 or more, which is what Puff's going to do.
You call me.
It sounds like a lawyer wrote that.
Okay. Philadelphia. That's it.
And that looks like a. A hot pepper, but it was like a pipe with a hole pipe.
Yeah, you're going to get an argument in there for that thing.
So, I don't know what to say to that.
Well,
I'm waiting to hear back from the property appraiser. I think they have to review.
I'm going down through the ground.
I just don't know what the top line is.
Looks like it's on a concrete glass.
I can't talk about something I don't know what I'm talking about.
Look at the picture, it looks like it's on concrete.
Serious.
Yeah.
I'll let you do the talking
there. Well, you're going to have to take the lead in the talking part we need to do.
I mean, this is very common. You know, it says 10 or more, then it says 25 or long time. And this is not what I wanted to say. I want one paragraph that says 10 or more new employees that are full time. Right?
That's what I thought. That'd be full time.
Full time.
Okay,
so this is an expansion of a business. Right. Well, yeah, there's another part after what I just read about expansion, but again, it gives A and B. One says 10 and the other says 25. I don't understand that.
Now, this is when I
already put on there.
This is the record, yeah. On the second page and then on the third page.
It might have a leak there to shut the world.
Look at
the leaking
business in here, kind of there. I thought we were
done. These people are expanding an existing business.
What was
that? So that actually come under that A part, don't you think?
Yeah.
A business establishing 10 or more quality jobs to employ 10 or more full-time employees in Taylor County.
According to this definition of an existing business, Puff is an A. They've got 10 or more jobs.
But But now B is 25 or more, and they're paying early.
Well, and B it says that.
Down back towards the center, and then they got the head of.
The sum they would expect.
They got that meter.
Head of the oil tax exemption is less than 0.5%. So each year. I understand that.
Right, and then have the meter.
.504.
Or anything, the meter.
That's the .504, same thing, 50%.
They probably gonna put a meter on that, I think, see.
The more jobs you bring, the less percentage you get, and that's all screwed up.
So, is it a key to your job? I would love for him to.
He feels like the numbers that we receive are not accurate.
Right.
You know, page 2 of 14 on this thing is defines a new business, and page 3 is an existing business. So this is right. Definitely a new. And you mentioned them in existing business. A is clear
that I'm talking about the hospital.
And B is not clear.
You see what I'm talking about?
The hospital he means.
Well, they just sent me a picture of a hot tap on the city water line before we get to the meter going to the hospital. You know, the order.
Yeah.
Where they're going to hook up a new line, go to the trailer behind the new EMP trailer, and hot tap into the line before we get to the meter going to the hospital.
Good God.
Wow.
I mean, people something else, man. You have to watch everything people do, you know.
Huh.
I reckon they thought they would get free water.
Free water, huh?
They didn't have a backflow of manner on it to go back into the water system.
Or air baptism or anything.
They got to have that on there. They got what happened out there the other day was the city could not cut the water off. They fought it all day long and couldn't get the water down when they could weld the pipe that needed welding at least. And then finally, about dark, finally realized he might get a bigger wrench and a big pipe to turn the handle on the valve and be on the stem. And somebody come out with another vent, shut the valve off. They finally shut the water off, but everybody been there all day long, hoping he quit any time. So they had to wait the next morning to come back, fix it, make the well. So the hospital had to shut down for like 24 hours, I'm supposed to say. But, there's a lot of work got to be done on that water system out there. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We got to get, I got to get more involved in it.
Anybody has found an Alice built set of drawings. She may have told you. And they get it converted over to this. So Kenneth can have a copy. The hospital can have a copy. So they can look it up on the computer.
Right.
But she dug all that out of the basement. But I can't believe that. It's designed so that there's one cutoff valve, you'll cut off the water to the whole hospital if you want to repair something inside.
They were depending on the city valve to cut the water off to the hospital.
Yeah.
They didn't have a cutoff valve between the city's water valve and the hospital. It went straight into a 6-inch copper line running down the hall. And
come on in, girl.
So, coming down the hall. Thank you. No, you won't let my place for a few minutes. You doing
all right? Good. We're in a little downtime right now, planning on strategy.
You know what? We're talking about this, what it's saying right now, but we're going to tailor it to say what we want it to say. Right?
This ordinance is going to be rewritten.
Yeah,
but it's going to be rewritten after we take action.
But we can't we say that we're creating our new ordinance and this is what we are have agreed for it to say? What we just talked about in the beginning? Or is that not right?
Well, this is the only order we've got. And if you're going to approve somebody for a $2.6 million, it has to be based on what you already got in place, not what you plan to put in place next month. Unless you make him wait until we recreate this.
I don't think you want to do that.
Does that make sense?
Makes sense if you wanted to do it. If you wanted to do that.
And they want it done today.
So we have to go by the report we have.
So we have to go by this, is my understanding.
Then all the stuff that we've already talked about won't apply to them when we adopt it?
Oh, no, but in the ordinance already, it already got, they supposed to give us a check every month, every year.
Yeah, that's the important part. Now, the important part now is, maybe Mr. Curtis can explain to us, but on page 3 of 14, that B part, this, they're defining the, on page 3 of 14, the definition for expansion of an existing business. Well, that is pretty real. The B part, I do not understand. But I think that definitely they are an existing business and they want to expand. Now, if they want to expand, they've got to do an application process, which I think I read something here attached to this that is an application. I didn't know it, but the law is telling us that this has to go to the property appraiser. Am I right?
Yes.
And then after the property appraiser verifies these numbers and he's signed off on everything, then from what Conrad said, we're free to do whatever we want to. We can give 100%, 70%, 90%, we can do 5 years, up to 10 years. Is that right? Am I correct?
That's what I understood.
But I got to hear from the property appraiser.
Well, see, that's my understanding. The process of the application is they apply to the board. We turn it over to the property appraiser. Get his data input on, and give us a reflection of the map of what he has, and then we make a decision based on that map.
That's what I'm
saying. Right. So as it stands, we don't have a decision-making base right now.
That's right.
Because we don't have any information officially from the property.
That's what I'm gathering. Right. That's what I'm interpreting at the stage we're at now.
Yeah.
Maybe Mr. Curtis will bring that when he comes.
Right. If.
Yeah.
If he brings us that information, then we can make that decision. But if we don't have that information, how can we make this decision?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Legally, it don't sound like we can.
I don't think so.
Now, and what is it saying here about the annual report to us? The one that you know about?
Yes, ma'am. Hold on. I think it's in section 8, isn't that?
Page 8?
No, sir. Page
8 of 14.
No, sir. It's not.
Upon receiving the property appraiser report.
You reading the ordinance or you reading the application for the
ordinance?
I got the ordinance in front of me.
Section 11, page 11.
Page 11 of 14.
On page 11. All exemptions granted are conditional. Oh, you're on the codified ordinance. I'm sorry. I'm actually looking at the old ordinance. It would be under this section that says all exemptions. Yes. That is section 70-41, page 9 of 14 in the codified ordinance.
9 of 14.
Under which 70-41, all exemptions granted are conditional.
Right. The conditions are maintaining the expansion of the existing business for the duration of time in which the exemptions are granted. Condition of submitting an annual report on a form that we got to come up with.
We don't even have it yet.
And it's got to be done by this guy right there, sir.
Now, Commissioner Page, and all of you, if you'll go over to page 8 of 14.
Got it.
Okay. the final review slash adoption by commission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looks like you can do your final review when you adopt the ordinance. Do you read that?
Upon receipt of the proper president's report, go to the TCDA director and it comes to the board. At that board meeting, the commission shall consider the application. Well, is that where we're at today?
Yes, sir.
Recommendation? We got that?
Mm-hmm.
Property appraisers report. We got to get that today.
We need to talk about that property appraiser.
Who buys where it's from?
Come down and sit down.
You're going to be here a while. It says, if you read on, to determine whether or not to consider the adoption of an ordinance granting an economic development ad valorem tax exemption to the applicant. The ordinance, if adopted, shall be adopted in the same manner as any other ordinance.
Roll call vote, move it up. Roll it down.
Hey.
Hey.
So I have it.
Tell us what we're doing.
I'm not sure you know.
That's not good.
No, no, no.
It's, we have an ordinance right now. Tell me what
we're doing. We did.
Yeah.
We're talking about the hoops net.
The hoops, the...
What are they called?
Soup pup.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got it all wrong.
Mm-hmm. And... the actual process is you guys would accept the application.
Right.
You accept the application, and then there's some data on that application. And in this particular case, that data was incorrect. So we've got you the correct data for you to look at. They use the whole millage instead of the millage totals of the county. So it's a far less number than previous.
On their application, where is that that's wrong?
The numbers were astronomical numbers.
Correct.
And so the numbers on the front of this document, the 2.6 million all added together, all that can't be wrong. Because they used it all on the...
They used the whole millage. So when we send the tax bill, it's a combination of...
They used the whole tax bill rather than...
You guys just think of it as your taxing authority bill, and as you should. But the bill itself is everybody. It's school, state, school, local, water management district, MSTU, everything. Is it? There you go. I know where you've been. So, that turns it into the numbers. I didn't bring copies for everybody.
I made copies.
Oh, you get copies for everybody?
So I put numbers on top. One says 50,000 and one says 20
mm-hmm.
mil.
Mm-hmm.
So the
50 million and okay. 20 million.
50 million and 20 million.
Correct.
Right.
So this is a $20 million project. And so that's the second phase here, right? The numbers?
It starts out at $18,800,000.
Yes, sir. And the county's portion of that bill that we would be granted exemption for, if we were doing 100%. Would be 136,000.
That's correct.
Right here.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah. All right. That's a
fact. Well, that's a lot more time.
And
if we do 50%,
then we do 50%.
For 75, you got two different numbers. I don't think you have that. But
high. Can you run us the title of this county portion of the bill?
Sure.
And see how much less than 2.6 million is?
It's 930,000.
That's how much?
It's right down on the bottom of your sheet there. 930,000.
I still look for
9.
I see that.
Yeah, you may not have the one eye.
Okay.
It's 937.
Revenue movement?
800 what?
804. If you want to make, you know, the cops. And once again, on depreciation, we're taking, in this estimate that they have, we're taking a 12-year life on this equipment. Now, some of this equipment's going to be baking equipment that has a 12-year life. Some of this equipment might be computers and might be other items that have a much shorter life or a much longer life. But until we get returns where we can actually take the specifics of, just like the mill, I mean, when we do the mill, which we're doing right now and have been doing for several months, we have just the submission of the equipment and what it is, and then we go to the tables, and we break this down and we depreciate each one of those pieces. So you're doing a really broad, generic assumption, but once we get down to the nuts and bolts of it, it's going to be different. Because they were buying it for it, and you know, their construction's going to be different, you know, and they don't know what they're getting right now. You know, it's all based on, we're assuming the majority of equipment is going to have a 12-year life. So that's the numbers you're getting right now.
Just right now, that's it.
Well, we don't.
Now, let me ask you a question. If they order that equipment and they get it in, and you're like, what was it, by July?
May.
By May of this year. Then does that give you enough time to get added to the tax roll? So this extension wouldn't actually start until the following year.
That's right. We're a year behind in taxes.
In 2021.
This is 19.
So they're saying it's going to get here when?
May.
May.
This year?
Yeah, and they already mentioned, and the tax bill electric's getting you in November.
Yeah, it won't be on that one, but it'll be on the next.
So that will be the tax bill that comes out in November of 20.
Correct.
November of 20.
That's where they would get the credit. Because previous credit, tax credit, just dropped off. So they don't currently have one for this upcoming 19 tax year.
$900,000.
Oh, I got it. Nope, I gave you money.
So Bruce, one of the amendments that we're in today, they wanted us to vote Monday night, which we could not do.
Right.
And now, we sort of promised that we would be able to do it today, the special meeting at 3. But as we go through the steps of this process, you know, as the TCDA takes the application, and it's given to us, and then we accept it or not, then it goes to you.
That's correct.
For verification.
Then you got to get Conrad.
And then it goes back to the TCDA according to this ordinance, and then to us. But whichever way that is, the problem is, we're in a bind, because these people are talking about, you know, time is of the essence, of course, and they want an answer from us today, but yet we don't have a certification from you. So how can you help us out today?
Well, even if you do get the certification, you're not going to be able to complete the process, because you're going to have to draft a resolution ordinance.
Right.
And Conrad's going to have that information for you to have that. And then, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to have another public hearing.
Right.
For this to be, so I don't think there's anything you're going to do today that is going to solidify this being firm.
Correct.
Well, all you can do is give them your.
Our intent. Our intent is what we intend to do when we get all this.
Correct. We would also have to notify them at what stage that their application is, and clarify. Because they're going to probably wonder, well, where are we at, what timeframe are we looking at?
Well, and we had a sidebar conversation about that, and I told them, I don't know, but I would think at a minimum, at least a month, while we go through the process. And that may not be, I mean, that might not be completely accurate, because I couldn't remember if we needed one or two public hearings.
You too.
Well, what I'm thinking, though, is that if we could have
the third part of his thumb, which is bruised to Betty, then you know, the only thing left is to get the ordinance in place and the public hearings and all that, which in my mind, I'm thinking that probably won't be a problem. I mean, if the five of us have already agreed to what we're going to do, but you know, we have to have something from you, from me, before I could even say that much to
that. Sure, sure, we can do that. But the deal is, I think that we need to express to Superpuff is, regardless, none of this is going to affect the current tax bill coming up in 2019.
Right.
They're going to get their equipment, they're going to get the use of that equipment
for hiring their people
for over half a year at no tax.
Right. That's right.
Right. So, you know, if it's $20 million, you know, you're taking this number here, they're getting a whole $136,000 free in the first year.
That's right.
Okay? So this year doesn't matter. And the urgency on their part, I can't imagine that $136,000 credit is going to cause me to not order $20 million worth of equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, I got bigger fish fry if I'm ordering $20 million worth of equipment to worry about $136,000.
Oh, yeah, it's done way up.
Well, that's what the concern is. Are they going, from what I understand, is the equipment coming here or going to another location?
Well,
based upon.
Basically,
I'm
what we say to
them.
I understand.
They're going to take up our word and what we say. And they're going to give us some time. And our opinion in terms of the chair here, our motion today should be to instruct the staff and our attorney to draft the ordinance and to work with the property president to get the proper certification. And our instructions to our attorney, who is here, will be that we will do this percentage for this many years. That ought to give them enough information to come. Right, Bruce?
That gets you started.
That'll get us by.
That's expressed your intent.
We express our intent. And then public body, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it as fast as we can get it done. And you need to understand, if you will sit around and explain to Mr. Curtis, this will get the tax code until the following year.
That's correct.
So you got to bring your equipment on in there, folks. It's free, if you?
Hey, come on in.
Come on in.
Bring
it on in.
We're going to give you a whole free
year. I don't think we can do anything else.
We're not going to give them a good year statutorily. They get a free year.
They probably knew that. They just wanted it in writing. Or they wasn't getting a surprise at the end of the year.
Which is okay.
But I explained it has to get through the public hearing process. So my answer the other day was, we can't commit to anything until we go through the process, have the public hearing, and the ordinance is actually enacted.
And what did it say when you said that? We've got to know which location to send it to, or did they say okay?
Well, they really didn't.
So, I mean, you can give them everything that you can possibly get asked for, but you still choose to go elsewhere.
Right.
For other reasons.
Yeah, but that other thing, you, the county is doing this. They got to go to the city, it won't cut on water, it won't cut on gas.
Yeah. So, there are other factors that will factor into their
city. They're not going to locate it environmentally. They don't want to.
Yeah, I didn't want to make any promises that we could not keep.
Yeah, okay.
Well, we didn't want to be the sixth commissioner.
No, sir.
I don't think we can give them the promise of good keeping the quality tax base, because, I mean, there's no run. We can give them the tax if they, you know, if they come here, we're going to give them a break. I mean, just,
in my interpretation, and then that'll all be up to, all this is just an agreement until I actually get the return. And when I get the return, I got the equipment in my hand. Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Good, bad, or indifferent. We're not going to vary, and that's nothing that'll all be on my shoulders at that point in time.
Okay.
And you guys just tell me what percentage you want me to give them, and then when it gets to physically that equipment, then we'll handle that part.
Okay.
And I gave you some breakdowns of 50%. We actually showed how long that 50% would take to get to the same amount of money that the 10-year 100% would do. So in 10 years at 100%, that's the first page, it's a total of $930,000. At a 50%, which is the second page,
you're on 75. That Thursday, this they said. And it takes you 35 years to get to the same deal to that.
I think they expressed to us they want a 10-year deal.
Okay, and well, that's all you're allowed.
Yeah,
that's
all you're allowed.
That's all you're allowed, 10 years. But I was just showing you how long
how it takes.
On a 75% deal, you know, once again, it's going to reduce. Those same 10-year numbers are comparable as it run totals on the 10-year part. So you can do 50%, 75%, 100%.
And
the number I hear is a 75. So.
Now that's what we did for somebody else, was a 75. Have you heard any numbers on the street on this deal?
I think 75% would mean a great number.
You think that would be a great guy to mean to put down 75%?
You think that? Would that put us in a competitive position in your opinion? Somebody else that would offer 8?
I think it would. I think there's been a significant investment made to the point it is now, and you know, anything's appreciated, but I think 75 would be gracious.
We have very sad impact to our community, you know, with this. I mean,
I think infrastructure,
so there is an impact.
Mm-hmm. Even at 100, I mean, it's, these guys are going to bring a lot to tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I was him, I'd ask for 100% for 10 years. Or forever, if I could. But we just don't know if they really, if they're bluffing or not, in terms of, well, we're waiting to order this equipment because we don't know where to send it. To here or to our other location.
Fairly tactical on their part.
Huh?
A good tactic on their part.
Well, yeah, they're playing poker with us.
They got such a good deal on the building that they, I don't think they're going to go nowhere. I just can't believe they would. You know?
Let's bring this up, though.
I don't want to get a lot of finger pointing. It's that old county commission down there.
I'm going to blame it on Bruce.
It's not blaming on the city commissioner.
We'll about 3 o'clock, we'll come up with something over.
Well, it's work comp now, Commissioner.
So, my understanding of the process is if the board votes to accept the application today and they voice their intent,
correct,
then I can send that to you this
correct
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But then we would have to wait until the next board meeting to accept the application and to review and to approve the draft ordinance and the advertisement.
Okay.
And then it would be, I don't know, maybe the board meeting after that for the public hearing.
What about the board meeting set at 3 o'clock? I mean, what? We can't speed it up?
No, because you have to certify.
We can. I think there's a real importance of physically this being done. I think the importance is the intent of the board.
Right.
And I don't think the importance is the fact of the procedure is complete. Because once again, this tax year is not going to matter.
That's right.
If the equipment's here tomorrow, hey, they're free anyway.
That's right.
So, you know, whether we speed this up or don't speed it up really has no impact. It's just the intent of the board.
Right.
And once you guys say, hey, this is what we're going to do, you know, the rest of us will get it handled.
In other words, quicker they get here, get to work making money off of it, instead of being limbo.
Bring it on and get the cookie.
What they expressed to me was not getting the equipment here. They need a commitment so they can order the equipment and decide where it's going to go. Because a delay of a week, from what I understand, could delay installation 6 months because of the design of the equipment. Joel explained all that at three. So I don't think, I think the concern is they need a commitment so they can order the equipment.
Right.
We can get them that.
We can get them all the equipment.
Okay, what do we want to do then? I know we earlier had said 100% based on each annual report for 10 years. What are we thinking now? I know he's throwing out 75, but...
I'm still at 100.
And the numbers are smaller now than they looked earlier today.
Because the numbers are smaller.
Bigger earlier today because the numbers
are smaller. I've got 100, and that keeps this board from being criticized.
That's
about being for economic development and being a team player. The key to the whole thing is the accountability process. In it, from January 31st, you've got to come in here with some documentation about how many jobs. And when Conrad drafts the ordinance, we're going to make sure the language is in here specifically. What you've got to bring to this board.
Well, it's already in the ordinance. But then there is, for each new ordinance that is enacted for the business, that is something that's mentioned. By January 31st, you have to submit your report.
Now, there'll be a separate ordinance just for PUG.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in that separate ordinance just for PUG, for my comfort, I want it to spell out the accounting that will take place on January 31st.
Okay.
And this is what we're going to expect.
Right.
An auditor or whatever, but it's going to be something that's believable.
Okay.
That will define and state how many jobs you've created. And at the end of that first year, if you promise you're going to bring in 100 jobs, and you didn't bring in but 50, then at that point in time, you're out of compliance.
Right.
And then the board that's here at that time can decide what to do. We'll cut you 100% back to a certain other percentage, or we'll say you're in violation of this thing, and the whole deal is off the table, or whatever.
Now, within the ordinance...
Whatever you want to tell them that.
Well, within the ordinance...
You just tell them whatever, but it's going to put this... But Pam, go read the section. She says, now you all understand, you're going to have to submit a report to us. And we, like we say, Thomas, we don't have to tell them that today. We scare them off. We're talking amongst ourselves.
Now, within the ordinance, let me read this. It says, if an exemption is revoked, the commission may recover any ad valorem taxes previously exempted by this article. In addition, the county shall have the right to recover any and all costs and damages, including reasonable attorney fees, incurred in recovering ad valorem taxes from the applicant.
Well, that's absentee.
It's spelled out in the ordinance.
So we can't ask for back payment?
Legally, no.
Looks like
so. Michael Lynn is back payment?
That's separate. We want to deal with it, but it's all booked.
The option is
there. That's within the ordinance now, and what happens is a new ordinance for each entity is adopted. But that's within our ad valorem tax exemption ordinance.
Okay.
Bruce, you got to go. You were pretty hot this long ago.
If you don't mind, on another subject, the one that I've been working on, your fire assessment process that you've been working on, they're going to hear my first report back to the one on this. On the MSTU, our current percentages of payment, 30% of the MSTU is paid by Georgia City as it sits.
Right.
Okay. 10% is for gas, and 60% is for rivers. I'll give you guys this report.
Okay.
Which amounts up to 49% of it, which is, if you get back in, you've heard all the numbers I always say, tangible versus real property of our tax roll. 49% is going to be commercial, residential, everybody else other than the big top tax brackets. So, in the event you were to go to an assessment and you step away from the MSTU, you're going to get a huge break, half of it back to
Gordon said, the larger accounts, and you're going to take it and spread it out amongst the residents, is basically is what's going to happen if you go to a pure fire assessment. Right now, half of our MSPU is being paid by a very small portion of the tax roll. Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 accounts are paying half MSPU today. So,
and then if we did something like that, and then how many people came over and said, I can't afford it. I can't afford it.
They don't pay it.
Huh?
Yeah, they don't pay it.
That's right.
They don't pay it.
We need to drop this thing.
Well, I'm just giving you our first, and I've got not one and I's agreement, but as I was going to give her this first round of information, then her and I are going to, you know, add some more to it and go back and you know, for example, I'm trying to give you a solution. I'm giving you the problem right now, but we're working on a solution. So we want to give you some ideas that you guys can bounce around, and we might have some solutions for you. And that's the other part of this. And so we've got some ideas on some. We showed what would happen with an MSTU, without an MSTU, is what I just told you. No MSTU, we just go to an assessment. Dang.
That ain't no problem.
That's what we do. Yeah, that would be very difficult. So we're playing with some ideas of with an MSTU plus.
How?
Which is something that was laid out in the study. Which
correct.
Is, which
yeah,
is possible.
The only thing the study didn't understand is the makeup of our role. The study didn't understand half the role is 5 people. Okay? So our 5 accounts. So I think we can now take the MSTU plus, and I'm showing you some percentages of what that's going to do to a house that's 25,000, a house that's 50,000, a house that's 100,000, a house that's 200,000, which we don't have a lot of. So what will actually happen to the tax bill is on a house, this is MSTU plus an assessment. And a $25,000 house is paying zero today. So with an additional $92 as an assessment, that'll give you, and what I need is your money grab. I need to know how much money we're grabbing. Because I understand we're trying to get the fire some additional money. So I don't know what that number is, and that's what we're going to have to share. And then we can do a $50,000, and their current MSTU contribution is $29. And then we add a 92 to it, and that gives them a 121 bill. Not a bill, but an increase. Again, the increase has to be $92.
Per house.
On a house that's $50,000. Yeah. And then a house that's $100,000, it's only $150. Because their contribution to MSTU is much larger already.
Yeah.
The $100,000 guy is contributing $58 to the MSTU. And the $25,000 guy is contributing nothing. Yeah. Okay? So we're taking that plus the 92 to give us, and then what those bills will look like. So at the end of the day, once I understand how much money you guys might be considering for a fire, we'll give you an assessment plus MSTU to get you to that fire number as an option. Is that kind of what the board's thinking? Is that where you want
to? That's sort of what I'm thinking. May I say this? To go strictly to an MSDU for fire, we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't transfer all that from these 5 big taxpayers to all the houses in this county. It just won't work. The purpose of going and looking at this fire assessment, because we need more money in the fire department budget. You got 2 places to get it. You can do a fire assessment, or you can increase the MSTU on everybody. All right. You got a lot of houses, folks that don't pay anything, and then pay a little bit. I'd like to keep the MSTU where it's at. Keep that money. And then LaWanda and this board can give you a number you know, we need an extra 200,000 fire. And then run your numbers and add the fire assessment to what we already paid, which is opposite from what the clerk said we have to do. Got this through this. She says you're going to generate $100,000 on a fire assessment. You got to decrease the MSTU by that same amount, and that's not where I'm going.
I don't know that. I don't know that. Is that by statute or is that by?
I think that's just.
She said otherwise it would be double taxation.
She said it'd be double taxation. But I don't see it that way unless it's just statute. And now
she meant to reduce the MSTU.
If you don't even reduce the MSTU by what you collect, then yeah, that's just wrong because you're passing. You're taking and you're. Putting the tax burden is a word for it. It's not called it's where you tax the poor people more than the rich people. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be higher to me.
And okay.
All right.
I didn't know how to bring that up.
That's fine.
I kind of wanted to get a feel of what direction they wanted us to go.
I think originally the original request was that fire be taken out of the MSTU and the assessment number was $177 a year. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
And that would generate about $500,000 or something like that.
If you come up with $178,000, that means each house in this county is going to be increase its tax bill of $102. You remember when we did this one time before and it came out? I mean, an astronomical amount of money to have some poor people pay.
Yeah.
Live in.
Your big guys are paying half of it now.
Huh?
Yeah, the larger accounts are paying half the bill now. So yeah. We don't want to do it. I wouldn't think for it.
No, I don't think that's reason. Well, you can do the numbers for us.
We're working on it.
Okay.
We'll start fine-tuning these and then we'll.
Okay, Bruce, can you come back at 3:00?
Sure.
And,
can we take a little break?
Yes. Sure, we're going to take a break now. You guys are going to take a break. But when this comes on, this is on our agenda, then I'm just going to go through, you know, in general, the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I will call you to talk about their tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Yeah, we're talking about the fact that whatever happens this year is not going
not
to
right.
not going to affect the tax.
Right. So that will that come from you.
Sure.
You
I'll
know.
Be glad.
And
yeah.
Then from there, you want to talk? Not necessarily. I think they just need to understand the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, they'll want some reassurance from the board of mm-hmm. the intent, and then we can I think that's
we'll play it by ear. We'll make that.
Okay.
You're on 100%, and then it'll start in 19.
Maybe
This is robbery.
So,
what?
They don't go to the employee.
What you said?
Where to go?
To the dinner.
Really?
To the what?
That's not, it's not on the show.
What it is, you got two phones.
You shit it all one.
There were 2 hours of talk.
The money's profits.
So you're not going to have a fund.
So at the end of the year, we could have a, a meal and sale.
Yeah.
You know, or if we had a power fund.
You can't do it.
If somebody's.
You can't, I mean.
Most family members,
you can't buy that fund.
Running the beer, running from the vending machines and then teacher money.
Right.
And what the kids are going to do.
You know, this stuff they talked about with the network, they look into that.
Yeah, that vendor ripping.
All these guys over here.
This is what I'm saying.
And all the word, and you
did 49. I didn't know him, but I'm going through all of it. But it's always.
And we're going to go right around.
Yeah. Okay.
We're right now.
All the perfect. See, all the brother.
Yeah.
All the brother.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think you remember Mr.
Sam
Fair? Mr. State Farm Man? And you remember Daddy?
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Sam Fair.
Okay.
And that's your cop.
Yeah, he was a good old PD.
Been a career in railroad, that's part of it.
Now, it's other goes back for y'all.
Will it?
Exactly.
So you're saying
you can't take it out.
This is the same thing about it, or is this one different?
That's your number five.
That makes sense.
That's number what?
Number five on your
agenda.
We already have
that. But we got
you up there now. Well,
let me finish this. But that's not
what I'm saying. It's the same
thing. You don't have 14 to do.
But that's
it's in a brainer. You raise the military. When you left.
Yeah, you got some additional.
You left them big 50%.
What if they?
I don't know how you
say
that. I don't know how you say that publicly.
So I'm
going to
use that on YouTube.
But that's the.
Yeah,
that's
the next bullet
right there.
Maybe that seemed like a lot of interest.
She's got more job.
You get done, because that's what you're being told by. Now, you can't stand up and say that, but.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, we can't do both. We can't do a.
But that's not what GFC said. I swear. That was. They were saying both.
Okay, well,
The next thing on our list is number five, economic development. Commissioner Page to discuss present model, multi-county partnership, other options, and of course the tax abatement we've already done. Commissioner?
I'll explain to you why I think I put this down in the proper discussion. I had a conversation with Jim Bassett, who was years the chair of the Kelly County Development Authority. And we had our about once a month conversation out on the sidewalk with Captain City Bank. That's where it's right into the meeting. And Jim said, you know, it might be appropriate at this time that this community look at a different model for providing economic development service. And he mentioned it before Mr. Frederick retired, that there was some discussion about, and Thomas knows more about this than sure another, about a multi-county approach to economic development, where two or three counties,
you know, share their resources.
Yeah. And he said, I don't know if it's premature to look at that model again, or people in that model were available, but his bottom line was, it does not appear that the model we're working with is is doing very well. And I got thinking about that. I really think that the city ought to take a leadership role in trying to assist with economic development.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Bob Brown, when he was the city, I observed him spending
time
over there assisting, and he was good at it. The city benefits him from the business locations, every kind of thing, benefit from the gas revenue and so forth. I just wonder if, when the time is right, we could have the city take the leadership, or ask them to take the leadership role in economic development. Let the TCPA be under their umbrella, if that's legal. Mm-hmm. And we could, you know, what is it, spend 9,000 a year?
At least.
And just channel that money over there to try something. We need to try something different. Now, you all get the same emails that I get that wanted forwards to us from Scott Frederick. And I read through that, and after about the third time he sent that report out, I'm just seeing a lot of fluff. You know, he's a very good writer, and I've done this and I've done that. But in his tenure here, under the model that we've been offering him, we've been very successful. Bob and I, y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Cost the city $5 million. Applied, get in.
Got it.
Cost us $100.
Cost us $100 and something. What is it that we've accomplished in all these years under the model that I think is not working? We've got a Taco Bell and a Popeyes, and they're so crowded that you can't get into either one of them.
Is that a direct result?
I don't think that's a direct result.
I don't think so either.
I think that's a private person in town, businessman, and owns the property there. We need to look at the community as a whole, the city, the county, the TCDA. We need to look and think about, is there another way we can do economic development? Mm-hmm. Chamber of Commerce, I don't know if they're more interested in
tourist development.
Tourist development and barbecue festivals. Mm-hmm. Don't know if that's the route we need to go. Mm-hmm. So, it's worthy of a short discussion. I know we're not going to make a decision today, but I just did want to bring it up. I rely a lot on TCPA advice from Thomas and Pam, who served, I think, 1 year on that board, years ago when I was chairperson. But you all know more about what's going on over there than I do.
Well, I don't know the answer. I know that there have not been results. We all know that there's no results. But I don't know what the answer is to get results. I know that since I've been there, you know, it's been, talked about a lot that how competitive the business is.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not have a lot of amenities that a lot of people seem to be looking for. And, you can't put the amenities in without this, and you can't put that in without the amenities. So it's like, which comes first, the egg or the chicken, mm-hmm. so to speak. But I know it's not working the way it is now, and my understanding is I don't think Ollie is the only one that's not so happy about the way things are going. And I don't vote over there, okay? I'm not a voting member. So, but it just seems like there's a lot of talking about TCDA. But I don't know what the answer is. I know at one time I remember the multi-county talks, and at that time my concern was, well, if you pool your money with two other counties, Do they have a disadvantage over us? In other words, like for instance, Madison County, Jefferson County, they're not on the Interstate 10. Do they have more of an advantage? And where would that leave us? I don't know the answer.
Another good point, so I've heard the same discussions, is that we may get the short end of the deal because we don't have the interstate frontage. And this Smoky County option may not be open to us anymore.
Now, let me say something. When that came up, I was on the board and we looked at, and I think that's about the time that was when you were in this big mill of the library.
Mm-hmm.
Clawson. And the reason that we think it went to libel was because of sin. And I think at that time there was a fellow in Valoster, he was working for Madison, Lowndes County, I think it was Lowndes County, he was working for Swanee County. Well, Swanee County got the mill, Madison ain't got nothing in the last 20 years. They haven't built nothing in the last 20 years, and it wasn't pretend it'd be broke.
Mm-hmm.
The revenues off of 10 is holding Madison afloat. We don't have a 10. And I was praying and hoping last night when I was thinking about Puck. I wouldn't care if we had the 4-lane 221 from Perry to 10. You know, I would like to see that kind of business come to the town. If we have to do that, and then we would require that, then we would have some advantage. Now, I could tell you this, I was there when, what was the other developer we had to sing?
Ridge River.
Mm-hmm. I was there before Ridge River. Nothing happened. I mean, they had a good speech, Ridge River had a background in IBM, and mm-hmm. good fellow, fine fellow. One before him done the same, had the same qualification. Scott Frederick is the only one around. I don't have a game to lose, but he'll impress me with his doing and even getting somebody to come to the table. We could not get anybody to come to the table. Now, when they brought Clyde Gallier from down South Florida, you give him the bubble books us. And he jumped on that and tied onto it like a tiger. Then we fired out other people wasn't very well. Then somebody else, then the money was spent out there in Louisiana for some blueprints and things, and engineering work was done that the city had to pay for it, the county one, I don't know who paid for it, but it was $100,000 a month,
wasn't it? Can't $100,000 in apply to Galloway.
Okay. Well, and that's good then. It's coming close right now. There's some more work being done. There were some people in here yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Sure.
Might be close, I don't know.
It's real close. It's close as it's ever been.
Yeah, okay. There were some local people in here. There were some people from financial firms. I was impressed. Not so much so that it's 100% sure, but it's closer than ever been. Just one big company, one good company, pays for it all.
That's right. I had the chance to meet a fellow in Alabama a couple weeks ago. He owned 200 Popeye restaurants like we got here across the country. Mm-hmm. I met him just I didn't know who it was, you know, and got told about what we're doing for a living. You know, sitting around the campfire, he owned 200 of those. And I said, well, how do you pick where you put them? We just got one in Perry. He doesn't own the Popeye's here. He said, I try to put them where I can get workforce. He said, workforce is the key to any business. He said, restaurant business is tough. And I didn't know we'd known that with our cousins in the restaurant business. And they told me they didn't build one unless it was in a town that had a college. And I said, why? It suits 8 days. He said, no, I can get cooks and waitresses, exchange students, 90% of exchange students that work in the Westfield College. They come all the way to this country from where said the best help you could ever want. He said, that's what we key on, that's what the club's on. But this fellow said he had a group go to Ed every time they found a building a pop out in, and they go around and just ask all the employers around there, you know, what kind of help how much trouble you having to get help. And they fill out a thing, send back to him, and he said, I can decide where to put it before we get help. And a lot of businesses won't come here because of that. And then there's another thing, the business is already here, paying $10 and $11 an hour. They're going to fight it right down to the last day to keep somebody coming in that's going to pay $15 or $20 an hour. Because $15 or $20 is going to get their best help out of their plant.
Right.
And they got a certain amount of their plant workers. They let sit on their 3 foot pot and hunting. That's fine. They keep working $10 an hour. And they know that. But they're going to fight any company that comes in here right down. In quiet politics, I call it quiet, they can flip around and do it. Fight anything about to come in here. And it's an uphill battle to get a business to come here because they have people that do, what I'm trying to get into, they come into a community, they do a little research ahead. What he told me he did, and he said, all big companies do that. Mm-hmm. They figure out how many people they can actually get put on. They talk about hiring 100 people, that's part of how 100 people take in.
Right.
There's a lot of eyeballs on Taylor County right now, okay, when it comes to business. Last week, we had the owners of Coors Deer, we had the owners of Beretta Firearms, and the CEO of Google right here in Taylor County.
I know.
So there's big money coming into Taylor County.
On the being looked at.
Absolutely.
And that bunch is planning on, that they're working with, planning on putting a big facility here.
Right.
And they're going to come approach us pretty soon.
Absolutely.
They've been talking to me about it. And that's just, they're saying, but they ask the same question. And if you talk to them,
right,
could they get help? I said, to a certain extent, you can get help. But you're going to be getting the best employees from other employers in Taylor County.
So yeah. Basically what they're keying on is labor pool availability.
That's right. So I'm getting around to, you know, what I'm saying. And the labor pool here in Taylor County is not as wide open as what people think it is. You just look out and feel off people walk on the street, think of people that's not working. You know, you see them between 8 o'clock in the morning and 12 o'clock up and down Jefferson Street, but they're not working nowhere. You see them in the afternoon, they're not working nowhere. But and you couldn't run fast enough with a gun, make them take a job, most of them.
That's right.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
and they can't pass drug tests if they didn't.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Who knows who owned that marijuana business up at Monsanto? I mean,
Holding the shears.
Okay. But you know, there's people in school, the people that have been putting in prison about a little marijuana. And right now we're fixing legalize. You're allowing certain people to grow. Now, if some people buy it, grow it, somebody won't slip it out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You might well face back. Greed runs deep. Not only that, I would love to see when I walk up on the street and ask the fellow, says, why are you not working? Can't find a job. Mm-hmm. I would love to say, there's a job out there, and I have told some. But now you got to clean yourself up in order to get the job, or you won't get it.
I told them the same thing.
Now, when you tell them that, there's young ladies out there that probably would go to work if that sorry where he is would straighten up and do better. But if it was so lucrative that I can get me a job, I don't have to deal with that, or I can do something else. The culture is what we need to change, and I said it before, I said it again, morning. We need to do better. And I don't know how we go about doing it, but we need to do better.
Just start from the beginning.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm going to go back to the economic results. I don't know who you can bring in, and he can sure enough do it. I just don't know.
He's better than what I've seen in the past, if I can say that. And he is. He sticks with something. He calls me a lot of times when he talks to people. He might call you too. And he does, he talks about several different groups. Now, he hasn't talked about none of them, but you brought it up, man.
Yes.
But that's something new that's coming in. That's new. But there's companies out there looking, but they're looking for a workforce to add along with them building something and spending money.
Well, I can tell you that Taylor County wasn't here on people's map. It's called that. They down there. Those munition plants. They're Buckeye, they're Gates, they're other places around.
There's jobs out there, people don't want to work what it is. I mean, I see it all the time. I mean, you think somebody really needs a job and trying real hard, they say they can't find one. But there's always some issue that comes up for you. You find a job in Butler County, it might be in the logwoods, or it might be, you know, and something they don't want to do, but they find a job.
I think the whole thing is, most of Taylor County, I know being out campaigning last year, and I have a lot of questions about the money that was spent with economic development and the results that we get or don't get. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to always be thinking about, is there any way that we can do it better to get more results? Because again, it's like we talked in the beginning, what we need are jobs. And I don't think anybody has a magic answer. So, do you want to add anything else?
I don't want to add anything else. Okay. I think it's been a very good discussion.
Okay.
I don't have a solution. I don't need it.
The vocational school is a plus for Taylor County.
Yes, sir.
It puts more people in better paying jobs than anything else.
That's true.
I mean, it really does. And that's one thing the Black Guy is doing. They're going to move if they can. They promised me they would put one of their machines at the vocational school, one of their pieces of equipment that they're going to use in their plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they train people out there how to troubleshoot that machine and rebuild that machine right there at the vocational school, where they can hire people right out of the vocational school and put them right to work as mechanics.
Yeah. The welding students, the implementation on that vocational school, it's good.
And the welding and the same. It sends a lot of people to work.
Yeah. I'll echo what Jim said on that.
Yeah.
It's pointing against, I have a grandson. He had his own in college, all paid for by his mom and daddy. He just said, I'm tired of school. I'm going with my friends out here to teach you guys everything. And he's in that instrumentation program, got finished with it. And he's at the place where they placed him for the internship job.
Okay.
Guess where they put him at?
Where?
Pubs. Started money. $15 an hour. For 6 months, all he does is his internship. And then he'll either stay there or go wherever else. But it does, that's just one case where
I got a testimony. My son, he was up there working when it started to walk and so away. He was with the National Guard. They called him up. He went to the National Guard, he come back. He couldn't get a job after he got that. Because they said he might have had PTSD. Well, now he stepped out the pass, and they kind of had it for a little while. Well, when he got out of that, I said, well, now you're going to do your education. What you going to do now? He said, send me to Jim Brown. He went to Jim Brown and got well. After that, he's out in Oklahoma now, a safety inspector. OSHA certified.
Got Henry done? That's what Henry does.
Yes.
That's a blessing for him.
PPM.
Yeah.
In Thomas, Oklahoma.
I'm going to tell y'all a little story about vocational school. Miss Jerry told me out there that they wanted to put in a class out there to train law enforcement officers. And chief of police and several other organizations are trying to block it, because North Park Junior College has got a training center for law enforcement officers, and they don't want them to be here doing it. But there's a lot of young men that can get into law enforcement, and women, it takes a lot of effort to get to Madison County.
Yeah.
And it's 30-something miles, but it's still that's an hour and a half out of your day, and some of them could get to that vocational school. So that's something going to come up here pretty quick. We need help. That vocational school with that, because they want to start a class out there and where they can train put people through the off the training program out of here. But now our chief police there in Perry, it's fine. And Wayne Page comes to me and said, Jim, what can we do? I mean, he said, you know, there's some board that has to go through the state. And the chief sent a letter to him that all the people in Perry County didn't want that class here at the vocational school. And even he, they even had Wayne's name on it. Wayne had nothing to do with it. But Wayne proved for not to be here. What made Wayne real mad? That kind of thing happens on the table that we're going to be approached for that pretty soon. We need to help the school with that any way we can.
But who is the police chief to make that determination?
Huh?
Who is the police chief to make that determination? To say they're next?
It's a state organization that does that.
But they take recommendation through the
paperwork. Wayne's working the paperwork on it now, working in that direction to get it all straightened out, trying to get it done. But man, it's something he's going to need help with,
right.
You know. Because he could get a lot more officers right out of Taylor County if some of them can't afford driving out to another day to go to school.
I had a brother that lived with me through a divorce. He was in corrections and he was trying to get over into the sheriff's department. He would have to drive all over creation to get there.
I understand that, right? So I understand that situation, but I'm trying to figure out why they're police chief would say that. I get Wayne's complaint. I mean, maybe the adjunct professor over there, that's a possibility, or some sort of, I mean, I'm just, right, right, but there's a connection over there with a county, some kind of way right here that they don't want me here, they want to go there. But I do know how it worked at vocational school for two years. That at vocational school, they just decide, I believe we're going to offer a program out here, or we're going to teach people how to be mechanics on Caterpillar. I just use that for example. And this agency, they might take a look and see, is there a need for that job skill set down here in Taylor County? And is there a place close by that you can get that training before they spend the money? So that's part of the process that's kind of helped us.
Right. So I think you work at Florida.
And you can get around that if you have.
But that letter got to them with Wayne's name on it. It made Wayne real mad. I don't want
to. I bet it would be too. Okay, if we can move on. Number six, inventory purchasing policy. I know you put this on there. I know the one with the purchasing policy. You and I had a conversation the other day, which cleared up some things for me, but y'all made a nice hand out here. You want to make some, is there some points you want to make on here, or is this just for our information?
This is for your information, but to remind the board, tangible property is an item with a value of $1,000 or more. So we do have a system to track inventory, and we tag inventory, and we have to go through this entire process when we surplus inventory, but it has a value of $1,000 or more. The reason for that, from what I recall, and Malcolm, you may can help me with this, several years ago, that value was established because the process to track things like weed eaters and chainsaws was, it became a little overwhelming because we routinely cannibalized parts off one to put on the other, and just, you know, rather than buying a new weed eater every time we needed a part, it just seemed to make more fiscal sense to, you know, to change some of the parts out. And that's just one example. But we do not tag each individual tool or chainsaw or screwdriver or anything like that.
Only tag those above 1,000.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and the reason I put this on because there was, you know, allegations and pictures from a certain department of, you know, equipment that came in and couldn't be found. So I asked the question, what happened to that?
Right.
And we still don't have an answer of what happened to it. So, you know, I was just wondering, is there a way that we can keep up with things when questions come up like that? Because, I mean, you know, they could have took all of that and took parts out of it, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, it's if somebody asks, we have to say, we don't know.
not a typical scenario, but I understand a question. But that, we would have to use the same system if we have a printer that stops printing, that has a value of $150. It becomes quite onerous to go through, you know, this process for removal from assets from the board and to track every single piece of equipment. It becomes not a good return on the investment as far as staff time, and it's what I've heard.
What we used to do at the hospital was all properties, which, you know, at that time the county said they owned it all. And so somebody came around and put a sticker on it, mm-hmm. with a number on it, mm-hmm. and then each department annually, we did an inventory. You had that number on a piece of paper, and you walked around, yes, it's here, or no, it was put in this or that. It didn't seem like that, for us, it didn't seem like a that big of a deal that was required. We did it and went on about our business. So, I mean, if you feel like it's working the way it is.
Well,
I guess it depends on how you look at it. I know that it would be, you know, if I were charged with record keeping, every time we have a printer or a computer that goes out of service, or a computer mouse or whatever, that could become a little overwhelming, just trying to keep up with all those records. I don't like the thought that we don't have accountability if someone is not keeping up with hand tools and chainsaws and weed eaters or things like that. The only response that I know to say is that if someone is not being a good caretaker of our inventory, that I would hope at some point that we would be able to apply some accountability.
What happened then?
There has been, to a certain extent, mm-hmm. you know, but they've acted fire people in the
yes.
past for doing things, you know, to
yes.
one of them getting gas out at the gas pump.
Well, then obviously it applies to some, it doesn't apply to others.
Right. That gas pump turned into it changed after that, but I mean, for a while, I think I did a free gas in the past, you know. But I think
one control might be that you've got a department. And they have a need for two chainsaws from that. And in January, you buy $600 chainsaw for that department. And then in March, you come back and there's another person coming for a $600 chainsaw. Somebody, though I knew you, or somebody looks at the invoices. We all get that. The question ought to be, why do you need another chainsaw? Just bought you one 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you do that.
Yes.
Now, as far as the threshold, $1,000, to me that seems reasonable. Because
mm-hmm.
if you start tagging little tiny items, it's going to be so time consuming. Whether the $1,000 needs to be lowered a little, I don't know.
Well,
the lower you get it, the more paperwork you got to deal with. Let's face it. Care whether it's a hospital or a board of county commissioners or a county electric or whatever, some stuff's gonna walk off, you know.
It's gonna walk off.
It's gonna walk off.
You are a bunch of companies, and I think the world of stuff walk off over the years, and you have to have
that bill. That bill, yeah, I might have been a beneficiary of some of that stuff.
Anyway,
walk off.
Don't tell him one time, he had a gallon of antifreeze in his lunchbox. And because the truck was going to haul on the way to work, and he was going to go out there and put it in the truck, you know. So he just had to put the antifreeze out there, the jug and fill it up there, stick it by the door shackle on the parking lot. They wouldn't have said nothing about it, but when he opened the toolbox, there was a gallon antifreeze. They got lost, you know, jobs in the mill over a gallon antifreeze.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have said nothing. You know, he just had a jug of antifreeze and hand walked out of the truck, and I got to go put some in, brought the jug out there and threw it in the trash can. But nobody ever said nothing, but, I mean, people just can't help it.
Yeah.
They caught people out there stealing toilet paper.
Yes.
And fired them over.
There's another thing, you see a bottle of toilet paper down there in a lunchbox that you can,
yeah.
you know.
Okay. Well, that's another understand.
What I can do is I can talk to other counties and see if they have a way to track their inventory for these smaller dollar. I hate to just say, you know.
Yeah, but I don't want to put extra burden either. So, you know, whatever you feel like is right. Whatever you feel like is right. Flip to number 7, Forest Capitol Hall. I put this on. As you all know, or maybe Commissioner Brooke, you may not know, when I came on this board in 10, I took on the project of trying to renovate the Forest Capitol Hall. And a committee was formed, and we met, and we had some corporate donations, a pretty good amount. And then we got some grant money, and so we had a plan for the Forest Capitol Hall. We were able to do a good bit of that. Some of it you can't see because it was, you know, infrastructure, but you can see the nice seating in there and the ceiling and the safety rails and all of that. But
New floor.
But we had a nice plan laid out. And along the way, or even from the beginning, from the very beginning, there was discussion about whether, about moving the Chamber of Commerce and the TDC and the TCBA out there because it's on the main drag and having a sign out front and thinking that, you know, people would come in and ask about Fenimore County, and it would be a large facility where you could have different ones scheduled to come in and talk business and stuff like that. In addition to having a lot of activities out there that would make that would give the people in Cody County more things to enjoy. Okay. And along with that was the fact that the 4-H and the that group.
That's your urban group.
Yeah, all of them were in there, and during the summer there's a lot of children in there, and at other times there's the same thing, they have after school programs. So as we moved along, we thought about, well, what about if we could find a separate facility for these people? And because you don't want to have a Chamber of Commerce people meeting with some, or TCBA, for instance, meeting with some investors from Japan or wherever, and you've got a bunch of children running in and out, and I love children, obviously. And so we talked about a separate facility. So we got them looking around, and we identified a couple, and the 4-H people and extension people didn't like that. And so then we thought about, well, right out here on the grounds, we've got enough of space to try to find some grants and build another facility right there that would be bigger, better, they could offer more programs and on. And that came with a lot of resistance. They were happy where they were. They did not want to move. That was their take on it. So at that point in time, and the room filled up with people that they had, you know, put it on Facebook, the room here filled up, and everybody was against it. We're like, you don't understand this.
That's called dealing with us. That room was supposed to
be. Yeah, it was like, okay, we're only talking about moving you just right here into a nice, bigger, better building. Why wouldn't you do that? And you've been offering more after-school programs and all, but they had it set in their mind that for a lot of different reasons that I won't go into.
So they'd rather remain in a part of town where there's no traffic and no...
We even gave in and said, we'll find you a site at the Forest Capitol site. And
yeah, that's
we will build you a building.
Yeah.
To your design.
Yeah.
And you just move over there. I can't believe I couldn't pull it off the way they did. I fell for it too. I had people calling me. They beat the drum pretty hard. I had people calling me day and night.
We were going to build it right there on the grounds of where they are now. They wouldn't have to really relocate except to a nice, better building. So at that point in time, after this committee that has worked for 8 years at that time almost and put a lot into it, it was like, you know, we're sort of done with the state, you know.
So if you went out of your state?
Say it.
So if you went out of your state?
Yeah. And not only mine, but someone that had given $100,000 too. So it was kind of dropped and said, listen, we're just not going to do this. So then I was approached here a while back. Do you think that, you know, we could get back on this and this and that? And I said, well, the only way that I would get back involved with it would be that everybody's on the same page. We don't have three people fighting against us. It turns into 100 people fighting against us. And so if we did do anything, I sure want to bring them in for every meeting and before we even got started to see if they were interested. So I just want to know from the board, is there any interest at all of us taking this back up to still try to make that a very nice place out there? You know, we need a road, we need lighting, which we've asked for lighting forever. And I don't know what the status is on that. Because of safety, there's holes out there at night, you can't see your hand in front of your face, and you know, I've tried to get lights for several years now.
Road needs to be paved,
and it just looks horrible out there. So, if we did want to take it back up, is there any interest on the board for this project at all?
I'd be behind it 100%.
I would be behind it. I get bombarded by that road all the time.
I think the issue we have going.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
When you come into a town, you would hope that everything would be strategically located. You know, in most towns, you have your chamber of commerce and all your different on the same block or within the same block. Yeah. And just everywhere I've been, I mean, you're in walking distance. Here we're split. We're spread out. If these type of items are centrally located, then you would have a complex.
Right.
Instead of it just being a school, this, you would have a complex. Maybe that's something you may want to look into.
Well, it was supposed to help these people, and plus we thought if we moved 4-H to a nicer, bigger, better place, then we could have maybe a convention, or we could have shows. We could have some cultural type things. We could have some trade shows and so forth. But I know that I put a lot of energy into it. I don't have time to waste. I have two little children to raise. And plus, you know, other family. So I had to know that it was something that was really wanted and people could work with us instead of against us. Now the one corporate sponsor, I don't know if they'll get back in it or not. That was a real, real loss for us if we, you know, have indeed, I think, lost them.
Maybe they'll help again if we go in. Yeah. We're wanting to build an ag center.
Okay.
Like they got in Madison and Live Oak, and what we want to do. And put the 4-H and have all the children you were talking about running through there in those areas, and then we could have a lot more things there at the ag center that you really can't have in there, you know, in the failing buildings. You got such a threat to children running up down them three bleachers inside that building right there. When them fall, we get hurt, you know, over that building. And that's just it. There's a lot of things that could go on there if we have another nice building, you know. And well, we can get grants and do it.
From my spin is this. We're not past the point where we have any other place to put the agricultural product in the 4-H. So whatever we spend our money there, they're going to still be in that building. And do you want to fix up the inside of it, very nice, and then the next day you come back and get the color for heaven's mark all over. I just don't know. I think that if we all went together and went out there and we fixed it all up, I don't think that opposition, I think it calmed out a little bit, that opposition they brought. But at the end of the day, we still would have this high building. And it wouldn't be put to its best use. Not that 4-H is not very useful building, but we still have to deal with that entity out there in agriculture. The payment outside, I get bombarded about that. Dale Young told me every time I've seen him, he's an asphalt business, you know. Once that pine tree taken out, that thing done, that needs to be done, and the lighting certainly needs to be done. And on the inside, what, Pam, what's left to do on the inside?
Well, on the inside, just some renovations in the lobby. And, you know, all the wood that came off of the, that is in a safe storage. And, you know, our plan was to do some shiplap and make the lobby nice. If you've got the TCBA and all out there and you have clients to come in, you know, and so there's a little bit of renovation there. We talked about the kitchen area. So if you went back east, you know, we had the Forest Festival had their Forest Festival dance out there. And we've had different companies in town that rented it for their Christmas parties where they had music and catering and everything. So we thought about, you know, the kitchen so it could, people could use it, or if you had an event there, you could sell stuff out on it.
The kitchen needs to be renovated.
And then a lot of it is the exterior. You know, you've got the lighting, you've got the road, you've got the building really needs to be repainted. It's two different shades of green, and the ground's cleaned up some, and
one thing that we need to do, and people have brought it to my attention, we need to put a petition in the hall from the offices to the bathroom where you can shut that and lock that and have it open to the outside where they can't get in there with the stadium, that with all the stairs and all, where people want to have like pork chop hall without having a nice handicap bathroom to use in there. And that would be real simple to put another petition to that back door right there, a kind of a portal for this addition on wheels. You could just roll it out there and hook it together and just border it off into that bathroom hall there, and then shut the off there going to the office.
Go to the bathroom, but not the hall.
And so we give handicapped people, older people, I've had several of them during the course of hall asking about it, said, it's just, in that hot weather during the time for Bethlehem, it's a box for a lot of people to use. Using porta-johns, and
but they do have handicap accessible
porta-johns. They do, but
you know,
but like man, one of the gentlemen told me, said, "My tax money built that place right there, and I can't even use the bathroom. What got away with him?" All the people that were working out there on Fifth Line Fifth Russell, they had a key to it. They were all using it, but the people that paid for it, most of them couldn't use it.
Go in there,
and it made them real mad. And they got talking about their name, you know. And I said, "I'll see what I can do."
Now, one thing, hold on just a minute. One thing that we did discuss, which I like as a better idea, is to build some outdoor restrooms.
And that would
you could attach them to the back of the building.
Right. That would be
and
good.
And have that own, have the own, you know, the two restrooms with men and women.
Right.
And
that would be good. But what it was is we rent the thing for Pine Tree Festival. In other words, the county don't put that on, you know, Don and them does all that. They do the parade and all that business. And they rent that during that day, that road, a barbecue cook-offs and all that kind of stuff. But all of that would give access to that bathroom if you had a way, you know, you could take, people could come in and use that nice bathroom that they felt like they built and wanted to use, you know. But what got over them, the mother people used it, you know, and they couldn't use it.
Well, if we built the outdoor ones outside,
that would solve that.
That would solve all those problems.
But you know how expensive short from scratch building a bathroom is compared to a little petition in the hall.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
You think what we spent to see Hanky Boat have on a bathroom? $200,000?
We'll take it over. I'll support you.
I'll see.
You know, you're going to build everything you want to use.
I just wanted to
start
test the temperature of the board before we
get it. I've had a and my feet are still just less than 7. What we're going to decide, we're going to do another one, or we're going to use that and go there and work on that?
Say again now?
Are we going to build another building, or are we going to go to Porsche Capital and work on it?
Well, Well, if we did it, we'll have to work on that one, because we've already put a lot of money in it.
Well, when the group up here was talking about that, the 4-H and all, we were talking about putting it somewhere else.
That's right, about it on the grounds, if we could get a grant to build in another facility similar, not as big, but another facility right there on the grounds.
We got plenty of room there, 30 acres an acre there. And that arena down there, you don't ever see nobody there, nobody uses it anymore. I mean, not the high hill down there, but right out the back door going west, where they, you know, have all those exhibits and stuff during the final recovery. All that the ground build.
Good house. Plenty of room out there.
Yeah, it looked like those people down there was, might have had some opposition. Go down and ask them to design what you think you need and what would.
Well, if I decide that I want to get back into it, I haven't really decided yet. I'm still kind of hurt over, you know, I'm sorry, but that was a big, you know, that was a big slap in the face.
I don't really understand the whole thing behind it bothered me, you know, that they just,
they
did not want it.
Yeah, I mean, they really dug in deep.
We don't want to walk out and run out behind all that stone. I feel that, and I feel in good faith that I feel like that.
I feel like that. I felt like that at that time.
I did too, and I might have been wrong. I haven't been wrong before. But
somebody's not there.
What it was.
Oh, yeah, he was one of the ones. I tried to work 2 or 3 years prior to all this with this individual, he's no longer there. And let's find a piece of property, and we identified some property out behind the hospital, far accident. And he just totally just, so I dropped it out of it, trying to help get something.
Right.
I think maybe we'll find a different atmosphere out there now.
I
think we'll go.
Okay, well, if people get back with me, and if I decide to touch base back with them, and just see how many, you know, but anyway, that's good.
And before we get it, let me tell you, do you know where your ship that lumber is?
It's
in the old hospital.
Yes. Oh, it's in the old hospital?
Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be in a storage building.
It's in that old ward building that back in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
See, it was...
It's not in the main hospital.
No. It was first city.
Right.
So I inquired, where is that wood, Mr. Lake? Mm-hmm. And from that question, it got moved from the city's storage property. And inmates carried it over there. So before we sell that old hospital property, we'll get it out now.
What happened with that? Actually, Mr. Lakey did not ask for that wood to be moved. It got down to the point where I got a call when he was not here that we need it gone within the next couple of days.
Okay.
So we asked for the inmate crew to take it down to a storage building on the old hospital site.
I hope that place is not leaking all the lumber.
It's supposed to be secure, but I've already written myself a note that we need to make sure that we find another place for it as soon as the hospital goes up for sale.
We're going to wear the lumber out moving.
That's a lot of big heavy pieces.
Or Dover. You know, you buy 12 now and it's an inch and a half. Mm-hmm. And that thick. Mm-hmm. This is full 2 inch thick. Toss stuff.
Oh yeah, I used to be a pine lumber.
You know what I'm talking about. Now you're going to split that and make shit back.
Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about. It's just that, you know, use what was there. It's old and it means something to us, you know.
Well, they've been up to do that long, you know, but
and we even talked about on each side of the state, maybe, or whatever.
Now, can I ask a question before we move on?
Sure.
I hear discussion about lighting and painting, but I don't think that we have any funding for either one of those projects.
They've been keeping the pothole filled out there. Hanks took care of patching the road out there some. And he's kind of staying behind that, but I remember you were telling one of them, we didn't have the money to put in it.
Right. Well, it's not in our CIP. We don't have any capital money set aside this year, but if we need to get some quotations for that and ask for board approval for that.
Well, I think we need to add it if we can figure out how to fund it. If we can't fund it, then we can't do it. But, you know, I'm telling you.
Then you get the chance to design it, because we need to pay more than what's already got asphalt on now. Right where you park at the lobby, that lime rock section, that needs to be paid all the other.
If one person sprained their ankle, wrecked their ankle out there, it's all going to stick in the parking lot.
Well, we already had a lawsuit from somebody stepping around.
Yeah.
And when you come out of there at nighttime, and I have in the last, you know, not long ago, it is dark through there. You cannot see.
Lights are a no-brainer. We need to get some lights out there. That's not that big expense to get some good dust gone light put up out there. Now, if it wasn't on the solar panel lights, you know, but that solar panel on the wood here.
Well, when you park all out of there, you park all the way down to the entrance, and you walk out at night.
They need to be all the way around that canopy there where you're parking and down around the end of the building, right there by the generator.
No, but any plans on what we need to do, because all this fits sort of together. You don't want to go out there and pay, and then that's the place where you pay, and it's going to put an addition on a whatever. So. A lot of work needs to be done. It's going to take a lot of money, and hopefully our big dollars will forgive us.
Well, we could at least do lights.
Well, we'll give you lights.
We need to pay that most important thing right now.
Well, that payment money, you know, we got a little bit of money in the common account, and I would be generous with some of the district one funds.
I'll put some of mine in,
we can just make the payment happen pretty quick.
Because people out of every district use that bike.
We can put the payment in a high car and the lights. Now, we can't afford any lights. That's new service territory. They can put up lights. You pay the light bill, try to come up the beach or whatever it is. You need 10, so then there's...
That'd probably be better than putting them in ourselves and having to pay the light
bill. And then we don't have to put the baths, we don't have to take the bulbs, do all that.
That's right.
Now, if you want fancy wrought iron posts and all that, if that's what you want.
We don't need that.
That's not necessary.
Nobody look at the photos, they look at how they walk in a parking lot at night.
I know Don had done some research, and Dustin, I think, had done some research, and they had talked to Duke, and there's all kind of different lights, of different costs per month and all that, Okay, let's move along to number 8, boat ramps, and I just, you know, I know last year, I'm just speaking from what I saw at Keaton Beach, one boat ramp. A lot of times there would be security at the road there where you turn off the beach road there, and you know they'd be sitting in the truck because there was nobody coming in and out. And how much an hour are we paying for that security?
The minimum wage. The sheriff's office. Is it
45? 40,
I think they increased it.
I'm going to
have to check on
that. We're just paying, a lot of money, and I'm just wondering if there's any way that we could save any money there.
Well, now I will say that last year's, we had fewer deputies. Instead of having two at each boat ramp, we had one at each and a floater for the season, because we thought maybe we were overstaffed at the boat ramps with deputies. If that helps, I mean, we are trying to control those costs, and it seemed to work out fine, because then the floaters would basically go between the two boat ramps.
Commissioner Murphy, what was your observation?
If I can explain to you what I would like to have seen.
Yeah.
I would like to see more sheriffs down there.
At the time when you need them, they need more.
That's right. And especially during that time period. The sheriff's sitting in his car, and you got a log jam, you got 30 cars trying to get in and out of there. I've seen sheriffs stuck in traffic. When they're responding to a call, they got the blue lights going, and they can't get down the road. And that's just the one guy there. So imagine if we had nobody there. What we need is more.
What I saw was he would be sitting in his truck or car because there's no need for him to stand out in the middle of the road when there's nobody there. And I saw that quite a few times.
That's that midday shift in between anybody coming in.
Maybe that's where we could flex a little bit or something. I don't know. I'm just looking for cost-saving ways.
I think the concern with that is it's hard for them, from what I recall of the conversation, to get someone to work off to commit to an off-duty schedule. We can't really say, okay, go home while it's not quiet, but then come back when it gets busy. Because it's hard to get that type of commitment for off-duty jobs. They want a set number of hours. And like we did reduce it from two at each ramp to one at each ramp and a floater.
If you've got, on the beach down there in the scallop season, I mean, you can have 6,000-7,000 people just on that block alone, on that one block. I mean, it's pretty crowded down there. So you got a good amount of crowd, and you got one sheriff sitting there. I mean, our constituents there don't mind the sheriff sitting in the vehicle because we know he's only there for 20 minutes to a half hour downtime. Because we knew the 4 hours before that he was out there running circles out there. So with the influx of people, we have more people there. We're going to eventually need
Mr. Stokes, our sheriff force down there. What happens a lot of times? You know, it's the big influx of people. And like you say, stands out there all day. And then comes a big old thunderstorm. And they come on in and unload, and then park the bus. Three quarters in. He gets his coat and rest for his whole while. But, like you say, you told him, we want to go down here and work today. He stays not finished. So,
okay.
Let him sit in a truck and sleep.
I'm not criticizing him for sitting in a truck. That's not what I'm doing, because if he's not doing anything, I'd be sitting in the truck too.
He
doesn't sit out there in the hot sun. But I was just looking to see if there was any cost-saving opportunities. It doesn't sound like that there's any there, so let's don't change anything.
I think we did put that in place last season.
Okay. Now, the other thing, I know, and this will be the last time I ever bring it up, but I know we've talked for 8.5 years that I know of about the fees and everything down there. And I'm going to schedule 3 o'clock, and I think I have time to prepare for the 3 o'clock. But are we okay with leaving it like it is, or do we want to increase the amount, or just not worry about it and leave it like it is?
My feeling is, before, I was trying to do away with the $5 business altogether and have stickers on them. Where we, you know, everybody have them or not have them, one of the two. I mean, yes, they put their money in the box, but everybody didn't agree on that. We didn't, a lot of people kick back on that. But the sticker fee, that's mighty cheap, they tell me, compared to the county.
No doubt.
I mean, that's real cheap.
Didn't Mark come and make us a proposal that we need to go up $23 on a $20 sticker?
He did, and I think
so that he could pay the sales tax on it.
Without
us having to do that.
Yeah,
plus the merchant would sell them and make a buck or something.
I believe he's still waiting. The process with FWC, I believe it is, to ask for permission to raise that at all is pretty onerous. I'll have to check back with him and see if he moved that process forward or if he saw the process and decided not to do it. I'll check.
What was the process? The only thing I'm interested in changing, since we talked about this, I know 16 years, is if we can do that. That's a small change, but
I know that the information we have to provide to request permission for the change, it almost seems like it's not worth it. By the time you go through all of the requests for, you know, how much we've made, what the maintenance cost is, you saw that email.
Yeah, even he said that it seemed like a lot of work and information to provide them for them to turn around and say,
okay, let's drop it then. Let's stop worrying.
Well, one thing I will say, if it helps anyone's feelings, if you recall, last year we hired a part-time code enforcement officer to enforce you know, our ordinance regarding boat ramp, you know, our fees, and do issue citations. And I know I see fewer and fewer and fewer citations because just his presence alone,
right,
I think, has encouraged people to buy their stickers. And we ended up combining two jobs as a cost-saving measure. So our part-time code enforcement officer is also our building technician that works up front. So we turn that into one FTE. And so we have, I think, maximized our efficiencies where that goes and have saved some money. And I can get those numbers to you.
Okay. Now, it's your district, and I'm not trying to jump into your business and your district. I do live down there some of the time, a little bit of the time. And down at Hodges Park, we put forth an effort 3 or 4 years ago, went down and pulled all the sand spurs up, brought in new sand, and tried to make it nice, and we said, okay, we're going to spray it. When we see green coming up, we're going to spray it with Roundup before it ever gets to the sand spurs stage. And as being down there last summer, even looking now, there's quite a bit of green growth out there. And last year it was sand spurs again, like we had not done that. And as I said earlier, even yesterday, there was a car from British Columbia. There were maybe 3 or 4 more cars there yesterday here in early February. We got spring break coming up, and I know a lot of our local people do go down there and take their children during spring break. I just want to make sure that you know, I don't want my little children walking out there, or me, or anybody else, and get your feet full of sand first. And then, you know, the restrooms, I kind of go in there every now and then just to check them, and, you know, it just, we need to make sure that there's paper in them, mm-hmm. there's towels in them, they're clean, the graffiti is, you know. And then I had asked about the roof down there, because when you drive up, it looks like part of the roof is a different color. I got an answer about that, but I forget what it was, but still, when you drive up, it looks like we patched the roof with a different color tin.
It's because it's clear for natural lighting, so I think it's just the age of the roof. I understand what you're saying, it looks like a patch,
but
it's supposed to be more of a skylight effect. So what I can tell you is that as part of our settlement with DEP, instead of paying a monetary fee, we have launched the Hodges Park cleanup effort as our settlement with DEP. We've had crews there on and off this week and last week, I believe, and they are supposed to be painting the picnic table.
That sign yellow and green?
Probably.
That looks like it comes from another country.
They are removing the seaweed.
You should have picked it up some color.
They're removing the seaweed off the beach area, trying to get all the sand out of the parking lot behind the sand fence, which is finished now, which I thought looked really nice. And pressure washing the bathrooms and all that. And we'll have before and after pictures that we submit to DEP.
Okay.
So I would hope at the end of this project, this cleanup project, we would have made some progress, but part of the instruction to that crew is to please get all the sand spurs up.
Yeah. Well, see, that's our one public beach front, and people do turn off the 19 to go down there, plus the local use.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, think we should, when we can, pay a little more attention to the upkeep and how it looks. And I know I get complaints about the playground cover. It's not adequate. It's by far not adequate. It needs a structure of some kind, something. And then, you know, if we have enough money from the whatever, that maybe we could add some other things there. But it's just our one and only.
Right. Well, we want to make it an attraction.
You know, yes.
We want to make it an attraction. And, you know, when we first come up here and coming into a small town, and we thought, well, why hasn't these things been done, you know, years ago? And people have their priorities, and we just wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
When we decided to invest on the beach down there, it was actually the layout, the way that the beach was laid out, is what made us set, or made us fine, I should say. We enjoy it down there. We really do. But there is room for improvement.
Yeah.
You know, just to nobody's demise, but just a little bit like that.
What's the condition of the parking lot? I complain about that.
As far as the asphalt portion?
Yeah, well, the asphalt portion. Of course, you know, y'all know Dale Young.
Okay.
Friend didn't provide. He didn't do the asphalt. Friend didn't. He told me why it was a down season and a lot of people there. We didn't spend some money and go down there and redo that asphalt or do something to that parking lot, I think.
I don't see anything.
I don't know where you've come from, Dale. You want a contract to go do something.
I don't see any grand.
I didn't see where it does
have. I don't either. I mean, you know, there's water sand. Water's going to sand anywhere.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything abnormal.
I didn't either.
I would like to go ahead and throw item 19 in, which was speed humps. You know, we talked about speed humps on Keaton Beach Drive a couple of years ago or so. Maybe it was, I don't know, a year or two ago. And just being down recently quite a bit down there trying to get ready for the spring and summer, cars are already flying through there. I mean, they fly down past our house, all along there, all the way to the end. And you've got children out on bicycles, you've got adults, young and old, that walk or even out walking now. You've got golf carts, and during the summer, you've got a lot of golf carts and a lot of people. And Jim, you talk about down there at the boat ramp, it's wondering somebody hadn't got run over and hit.
Yeah,
it is. It's the same thing going on down to Hodges Park. Now,
the last time we discussed those speed bumps, remember, they used to have them down a year ago. Remember when they had speed bumps?
Mm-hmm.
They had yellow, big yellow fiberglass.
That's speed bumps, not speed humps.
Well, bumps, they had them down there. People complained about them. They woke up at night when they come down the street there.
Right.
They were like, you don't have to be asleep. Boom, 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 boom,
right.
Boom. And then Live Oak County, Swan County got sued because they put bumps out, person hit one with a motorcycle and got killed, and that kind of took, I remember us talking about it, kind of took the pace out of our mouth doing a speed bump of any kind, you know. But now people are going to complain about bumps on that road coming down, but that traffic does need to slow down.
Well, if we put humps in, and they got all
over the top,
nasty and other
people. Yeah, yeah.
But you'd have to have signs there and really warm.
You would,
you know,
the top,
and I'm talking about blanket signs, just road signs. People get lost, but they don't read the road signs.
And the humps, you don't put them,
right
on here, and then they want to.
When you leave the corner store going both ways, you need those. Just slow down the traffic, come to the boat ramp right here.
Yeah.
I mean, you really need them there, and then off and on all down through Keaton Beach all the way to Hodges Park. I mean, it'd be aggravating, but it saves somebody's life.
Well, I mean, as a homeowner, it would be inconvenient to have to crawl over them, but for the safety of all the people that are on golf carts and walking.
If you incorporated speed bumps and you posted a sheriff writing tickets and people see people writing tickets, okay. In 10 years, I have not seen one, not saying that it hasn't happened, but in 10 years, I have not seen one sheriff write a ticket on that corner.
Well, they told the deputy not write speed tickets.
Okay, but see, that's not how it should be done. We should be enforcing the law.
I understand.
If I speed, I expect the sheriff to pull me over and issue me a ticket anywhere in the country. So in 10 years, I've never seen anybody write a ticket on that corner, so people know that the sheriff's not going to be there, and there's no speed bumps.
I mean,
mean, it's like a thing. But this should be.
And so I had him go, but when you turn down, it tells you how fast you go. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll tell you.
Well, see, those signs are
here. Turn around, won't look out for there.
None of those signs have uniform citation codes on the back of them. So technically, by law, they're just recommendations. It's a suggestion at that point. All the signs from the highway all the way down to the boat ramp, none of those signs mean anything.
We could start right there above going forward, start putting them in, have flying ahead of it, and you could slow all that down right there. Now, people who live down there be complaining about it, but they'd have to slow down nothing and go over all the humps going all the way down there.
That's understandable,
but that's better. All in the humps, all in the regulation, better than losing one person, one young out on the golf course.
I want to tell you, as the commissioner down there, as soon as they hear about this, especially if it's put in the paper, we talk about it, and I probably too would get a lot of calls. You would hope that they would be good, but I'm sure there would be opposition. Just know that.
They won't call me. They say I know a commissioner.
I hear that a lot. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at almost 20 till 3. Do you want to stop here, take a little break, and prepare for the 3:00 meeting, or do you want to move on?
Let's take a break. Let the staff get the chairs all put up, and put the plates together, and have the pizza box.
Sounds good. You got agendas for the 3:00 meeting somewhere.
And they'll be forthcoming.
Right. Okay, we still got some things to discuss.
Do you want to have a workshop at the end of February? We haven't removed it from the calendar yet.
We need to do it tonight. We need to do it.
Did you have something that has to be talked about? Did you tell me?
The only topic that I feel like needs to come to the board is, there was a request for contractors to use the incinerator, and I think I was given a March deadline, but I think we'll be prepared by then to bring some information to the board. If you want to meet to discuss that and any other items on the list.
What are we talking about on the 28th?
That is this public hearing for the fire assessment.
Okay, and it's at what time?
At 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, ma'am.
Do y'all want to just stay and do it all in one time and all of the just do everything at that meeting instead of doing that and another workshop?
That's fine.
If we can do that.
On the 28th, come to 10 and we'll do what we need to do.
Did you want to have a workshop after the meeting, or do you just want to discuss the draft policy?
Let's do the workshop, the item that you need to talk about, and try to, quickly finish things right here.
Okay.
Instead of having two more meetings, just come out. We have to have the one on the 28th.
Okay.
So let's just, if it's okay with y'all.
Yeah. Is that one we're going to do the room?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's enough time or not, but because we have a meeting on the 19th, but we'll have time to add anything to the agenda you want to. So you just want to have the meeting at 10 o'clock to be followed by another strategic planning session or workshop?
Yeah, probably we can get out maybe about,
Yeah, we'll get out of there by then.
Thank y'all so much for this meeting today.
Yeah, we've got this in the agenda for the spirit of
union. Well, we'll get it to you, Commissioner.
We got another one coming.
Okay, the first one up there is,
Well, it's not.
Y'all, that's the first one we should have. Yeah. And then we're going to
accept his application and
have
to go through the property appraiser for his certification.
Right.
And then
on
the
other
side,
Ooh, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody went there, stuffed in the pocket up at the city hall now. Before we get to the bridge, we're going into the hospital. I'm on the new high. To that trailer, it's sitting up for a sandwich stool back there. And it got hit of the meter. In other words, they keep throwing water.
100 days.
I'm not sure. I haven't asked.
Thank you.